Now this song says, chapter 1, verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Now there's a greater than Solomon. The scripture says, Matthew 10, I think it's 10, I can't remember exact, 10:25, 10 somewhere in there, it's somewhere in chapter 10. Says the queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation, condemn it, because she came from the othermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the greater than Solomon, and this song is really his song and his church's song to one another concerning their mutual love. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church, and the love of the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in truth, this is Christ's song. And it is indeed a song. It's the gospel. It's the gospel hidden in a mysterious form in this song of Christ and his church to one another. The Song of Songs, and certainly it is the Song of Songs because it is the gospel in a mysterious form. And every verse of Scripture in the Bible is concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, and every verse of Scripture, when properly looked at, is a place for a preacher to use, as Brother Jerry says, a jumping-off place to start preaching the same gospel over and over and over again. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, says verse 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Look at chapter 5, verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, it is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Now to the soul that is hungry and thirsty, and that is searching, that is burdened with sin, and overcome with despair, and has and is convicted of sin, and is under the under a condemning spirit, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are sweet indeed. They're words of comfort. Come unto me, all ye that labor under a load of sin and are heavy laden with condemnation, and I'll give you rest. I'll take that load away from you. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him preach to me the doctrines of the gospel, the precious truths that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his people, that he has loved them from all eternity, that God the Father has chose those who desire him to salvation from everlasting, and that the Father gave them to the Son, and it is the business, and it is the work of God the Holy Spirit to bring those people to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing his gospel. And believing his gospel means trusting him and him alone for all of salvation. Leaving our works out of it, leaving any good thing out of concerning us about it, our what we do, what we don't do. Leaving ourselves out of the picture and believing and only believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation, completely, totally, and absolutely. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit will accomplish all that the Father and the Son has sent him into this world. He'll certainly accomplish that. He is going to gather that church together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll just read a few verses here. Paul, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you. Grace be, not works, not law, not a job to do, grace. And grace is free favor. We are the elect of God, are the favored ones of God. And if God be for us, Scripture says, who can be against us? Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, wherein he hath, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he hath made us accepted in the Lord Jesus. He hath made us to be the righteousness of God in our Lord Jesus Christ, and accepted in him. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, the things that he's going to gather together in one, and that is in Christ Jesus, are all of the elect from among angels and men. They're the family of God. They're all going to be gathered together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Both which are in heaven, the angelic host, and which are in earth, even in him. while we're here, look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 52. Now this is Caiaphas speaking, and he really didn't know what he was saying, but it was the Spirit of God speaking through him. And he says let's back up to verse 50. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people of God, God's children, his elect. And that the whole nation should perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he should gather together in one the children of God, which are scattered abroad. Now the children of God are scattered abroad throughout time and in every nation on the earth, and they're all to be gathered together in Christ Jesus, of all nations, languages, and tongues, and so on. But the bride says here, now she begins to speak, and she says, let him tell me of his favor to me. Kisses are tokens of favor, and in the ancient peoples, a kiss was a marriage. That consummated their marriage. And so she says, let him tell me how he loves me, how he feels about me. Let him send someone to preach the gospel to me. To tell me how it really is. Don't tell me about the religion of this world and about what men think about it. Tell me the truth. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. We should walk around at all times intoxicated with the wine of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we would if we would consider at all times and in all of our troubles what it means to be one of God's favorites. One of God's children. A possessor of all things. verse 3. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth, because of what Christ Jesus is in himself. Both God and man in one person, man and mediator, the great high priest of his people, the surety of his people, the substitute of his people, the justifier, sanctifier, and all of life to his people. And it is he who brings us to glory. It's not us coming to glory. It's our Lord Jesus Christ bringing us to glory. And we believe because he gives us to believe. When the people of God hear the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is doing his work in them, they close with it. They just close with it. They say, I know that's true. And they don't need any further evidence. They know that in their innermost heart. And that's the work of the Spirit of God. He causes them to know. It's not the preacher. Now the preacher, regardless of how sorry a preacher is, if he's preaching the truth, the Holy Spirit will use that truth to bring the children of God to realize that's the message. That's the message. It's not about what I can do. Because I can't do anything. He causes us to find that out. And how does he do that? By showing us our failures. Time after time after time. Oh, I'll do better tomorrow. No, you won't. You ain't ever going to do any better in the flesh. As far as justification is concerned, it's when we come to depend on Jesus Christ alone. And leave ourselves out of the picture. So the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sweet-smelling savor to God the Father and to his people. Tell me about him. Tell me about what he's done for me and to my account. And it's been laid to my account. And the Father sees me justified in him by what he did. Therefore do the virgins, or believers, they love thee. Now here in verse 4, we'll look at this a little more closely. And let me get turned around here. Says, draw me, we will run after thee. Now, the scripture says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. John 6:44. And it also says that all the that they shall be all taught of God, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. When the Holy Spirit draws one of the people of God, one of the children of God, one of the elect, he does it by inward constraints of love. He draws them with cords of a man. Draw me and we will run after thee. When the Holy Spirit draws one of the children of God, whoever that person is, they're ready to run. They're ready to seek after the Lord, and they begin to seek after the Lord, and they remain seeking after the Lord all of their life. Romans 3:11 says, "There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after the Lord." Well, in ourselves, we don't seek after the Lord. That's the work of the Spirit in us, causing us to seek after the Lord. Look at John 12:32. Now, we went over some of this last week, but I want to go over it again. John 12:32. "And I," now this is our Lord Jesus speaking, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." Now, the translators there have inserted the word "men," but it's not there in the original. It doesn't belong there. He will draw all of his sheep to him. Look at John, turn back to John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Well, that's who he gave his life for. And look at verse 26. This is the Lord speaking to the Pharisees, or to the Jews, and he says to them, "But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep." Now that tells us that this modern day heresy that Christ died for all men is just a lie, that he didn't die for all men, because he died, he said in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And in verse 26, he told the Jews, "You're not my sheep. I didn't die for you." All for whom he died, the Holy Spirit will visit in time and cause them to believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Amen. That's just going to happen. They're just going to believe and be assured in, and nobody's going to have to convince them. Nobody can convince them of that. That's the work of the Spirit of God. He does that, and he does it generally by hearing the gospel preached. How shall it? Look at Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Here's the plan. It says in verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, you're not going to call on somebody you don't believe. How do you believe? It's the work of the Spirit of God in you. When he causes you to hear the truth, sends you a message in your heart that says that's it, and you close with it, you know that's the gospel, then what do? You call on the name of the Lord. When do you do that? When he speaks to you. When he lets you know who Christ is, what he did, where he is now, what you are in yourself, how great your need is of him, you'll begin to call on the Lord. And like I say, you won't call on somebody you don't believe. Back to Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed?" Like I said, you won't call on somebody you don't believe. "How shall you believe then on him in whom you've not heard?" Heard the gospel preached. You got to hear the message with the outer ear. And then the Lord will work that message into your heart and cause you to hear it. You'll be convinced of it. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, who is that they? That's the Jews. Or the world. It's not his people. They all obey the gospel. And what is it to obey the gospel? It's to believe the gospel. That is obeying the gospel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. That's the ordinary means of grace. God ordinarily dispenses or gives out his gifts of grace to those who honor his ordinary means of giving them out. In other words, those who attend the services, who hear the gospel preached, and who sit under the preaching of the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now in... back to Song of Solomon, verse 4. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Now, there's something there that kind of sticks in my mind. In the first two words there, he says, draw me. That's the body speaking collectively, the church. Collectively, as a whole. And it says, then it goes on, says, we will run after that. That's individuals. We individually run after the Lord. Look at Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Verse 4. Now those who run after the Lord have an inward compelling force in them that will never leave them. It'll never leave them. And it's the Holy Spirit. Our Lord promised, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Well, what about our times when we're not feeling religious? Has he forsaken us then? No. He's still there. It is necessary that he withdraw from us for a time in order that we can be weaned from this world. He lets us go out and get a taste of the world from time to time, and a taste of being without his presence with us. And for the child of God, it's not long till that's torment. They long to hear from home and from their father. They'll seek it. All right, let's verse 4. These are they which are not defiled with women. In other words, these persons were not taken up, were not occupied with idolatry or going after false religion. They believed the true gospel. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They have a single eye to Christ. I have espoused, Paul said, I have espoused you as chaste virgins to one husband. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's every believer is espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ as a chaste virgin. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Look at Deuteronomy 10:20. Deuteronomy 10:20. Now this is the law of God that he was written in the Old Testament. And it's part of that law that's written on the hearts of the Lord's people. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and thou shalt serve him, and him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. In other words, we cling to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the law written on their heart. It is our new nature. It's our desire. It's what we want more than anything, is to cleave and be near the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at... Look at Isaiah 44:2-3. Isaiah 44:2-3. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Now he's speaking here to the church under the name of Israel and Jeshurun. And he says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's the Spirit of God. I'm going to pour out upon my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy and dream dreams and so on. As in book of Joel, and he's talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church as an indwelling comforter who convinces us of the gospel, causes us to hear the gospel. After the preacher has preached the word, he said, when we've done that, then we should also pray that the Lord would grant ears to hear and hearts to understand. We must do that. The church must do that. But then it's in the hand of the Holy Spirit. It's always in the hand of the Holy Spirit, because if the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, the preacher's not going to be faithful to preach the word. He may preach his ideas, but... It's all the work of God the Holy Spirit. He has to accomplish salvation in his people. For I will pour water upon him that thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour of my Spirit upon thy seed. That's the children of God, who God loved from everlasting. And my blessings upon thine offspring. All right, back to Song of Solomon. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. He's brought us into a place of rest, of confidence, of assurance, of our standing in the house of God. He convinces his people of their standing and of the fact that they are justified by the righteousness that was established by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is fully enough for their justification and acceptance before God. He's brought me into his chamber. Look back at Isaiah 28:12. Isaiah 28:12. We'll begin reading in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and have drawn and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. He teaches us the truth a little at a time, here and there throughout our life. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives you an ear to hear, and you hear the gospel, then you'll know that the Lord has brought you into his chambers, into his rest, into his assurance, into his salvation. And you'll have that witness within your heart, within yourself. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers, or into his rest. We will be glad and rejoice in thee, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3. Listen to what Paul says about this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in his salvation. Rejoice in his righteousness. Rejoice in that he is the surety of the everlasting covenant of grace and the substitute for his people, that he is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our life. He's everything to us. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous. To write the same gospel to you as I write to everybody else, is preach the same gospel that we always preach over and over again. But for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. Beware of people that come with the wrong message, telling you what you've got to do, how you've got to be holy enough, that everything's up to you, and that you've got something to do with your salvation. They say, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. What we need to do is wait on the Lord. For we are the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That means have no confidence in our works of righteousness. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I count them loss or nothing for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now the knowledge of Christ is the doctrine of Christ that we hold in our heart, and it is taught by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, of all my religious things that I had before. Everything that I thought justified me and brought me in before God in good standing, he said, I count that all dung. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The people of God count their righteousness filthy rags and dung, and cling only to the righteousness that was brought in by the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know, if we know anything about ourselves, we know what our righteousness is. And we know that it is not fit to even be thought of, and certainly not fit to justify us before God. And listen to this, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Amen.
That is the only righteousness that justifies in the eyes of God. Everything else, according to Isaiah, it's filthy rags. According to Paul, it's all done.
Yeah.
We will be glad in thee. We will rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Those who know what they are in themselves and have been given a saving view of the Lord Jesus Christ have fallen in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians. I'll close with this. Look at Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ. Well, how can anybody know if they're risen with Christ? Well, we're risen with Christ if we believe Christ. And does that seem like a small thing? It may seem like a small thing to some. But let me read you something here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. He says here, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, as a lot of people did back in those days. Just around the time of the crucifixion, they'd call him anathema or a curse. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's how you know you've received the Holy Spirit, when you can testify from your innermost heart that you are sure and you know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is shows the work of the Spirit in you. They shall be all taught of God. That's precious knowledge.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back over here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things back in Colossians chapter 1 or chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Look at Philippians. Well, it says in Philippians, I've got the wrong verse here. Anyway, it's in Philippians, it says our citizenship is in heaven. And that's why we should look for that. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead. In other words, our old man was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, and it has been from everlasting. Our life in the Spirit, in the gospel, in Christ, has been hid in God from everlasting. He knew us from everlasting, chose us from everlasting. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The life that we live in the Spirit is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is by Jesus Christ in us, by His Spirit, that we believe. And He puts, I will put my Spirit in them. And He does it by the preaching of the gospel. Let me show you one other thing here. 1 John 5. First John chapter 5. And let's begin reading at verse 7. 1 John 5, 7. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which He testifieth of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. In other words, God has said something, I don't believe that. Or I either ignore it. It's the same effect, you're calling God a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God hath given of his Son. And this is the record. Here is the record that God has given us: that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I'm going to give you one more place. I'm turning into a lying preacher. Oh, me. You know, maybe I ain't turned into one, maybe there's already one. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, in the covenant, according to the will and purpose of God that was settled in eternity past. I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. By his Spirit, by his life that's in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Spirit of Christ in us witnesses to us that we are the people of God, and that we are the children of God, that we're born again. And let me just read you one more thing here. And back in 1 John, I think it's chapter 3 I want to go to. Let me find this here. Well, I don't see the verse I wanted to read, but what it says is, and this is the commandment, that you believe on him whom God has sent, on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fulfilling the commandment of God, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and rest in him. Let's sing number 36. You can stand if you want to. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our strivings would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the choosing. Just ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The Prince
Prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever.
Brother Bill, would you dismiss this word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together again this morning. We give you all praise, glory, honor for everything, Lord. We pray that your will be done, Lord, not ours. Help all that are not here this morning, Lord, all the sick among us, Lord, you know where they're at, how it is with them, Lord. Again, we thank you for being us able to be here again today. We ask all these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, brother.
Hello.
How are you?